timeless voice of resurrected mind. Here's the crucial element of the teaching of Jesus. This is the Course in Miracles as it will be presented to the world using me or using you. Jesus of Nazareth is your personal savior within your own mind. What he is offering you has absolutely nothing at all to do with the world as you conceive it. He has overcome the world and is offering you the solution of the revelation of his own mind. All he says is, what I have done, you will do and have done along with me. It has nothing to do with the world at all, except the denial of it. And this is the teaching. Are human beings in their associations going to hear this? No. You say to me, well, a human being can come to this. No, he can't. There is no possibility that a conceptual mind will hear this. None. Zero. How could there be? Life is eternal. It is forever. Objective reality is not true. You are determined somehow that what I am offering you can be formulated in your own mind association. It can't be. I am teaching, be born again. The experiences that you are having in your own mind, in your resurrection, are nothing but indications that you have become single-eyed so that your body can be enlightened. Simply an idea that you and I have in our mind, the possibility of dreaming sequences of how we want to look in the physicalness of the picturing of ourselves in reflections of light, all right, that are in the entirety of the idea of the consciousness of myself. Say to me, I'm dreaming.
I'm dreaming.
Now, what we're going to do today, with your approval, let me say first of all, thank you. Yes. You called me Charlie. Was I called Charlie? Okay. The idea of the notation of gratification for the manner in which I mature in a human concept of myself could not involve memories that I have about how I think I look within the faculty of my own mind. This is the whole substance of what we call A Course in Miracles. About my text with me. Because the voice that is speaking to us now and is about to begin to speak to us are representations that you have organized within your individual associations, ideas of coming into a centering and entering in to a factor of dreaming. Now, you're obviously familiar with the text of A Course in Miracles. The manner in which I'm going to offer this to you in the text will be, and I'm going to read you just a little bit, chapter 18 in the text, which is an indication, okay, of the dreaming in which you're performing the act. Here's the idea, which I teach for just a minute. Here's an idea of how I will operate on a procedure that you said happy birthday to me. Now, when you said happy birthday to me, you offered me a momentary substitution for how you were looking at yourself in your own dream sequence. Come on now. You can hear that. I'm going to read you the first paragraph of chapter 18 so you can get a feel for what I intend to do if the reflection of light by which you are seeing me is true. And I assure you that when I came into this dream sequence, we have organized it so that we may dream out of here together. I may dream out of here. Okay, will you listen just for a moment here while I read just a little of chapter 18? There's a word that's going to appear at the beginning of this, which we'll get through right away. But I want you to repeat it with me because it becomes important in the factor of what I'm offering you. Say to me, substitute.
Substitute.
You have a tendency within the concept of yourself to believe in substituting what is your reality for something else that you see. Say to me, I'm substituting.
Substitute.
Well, that's all right. I don't mind it. But somewhere within the dream sequence, we'd have to find the reality of that. If I don't get another chance. I want to thank you when I came in here this morning for saying happy birthday. Because the idea that when I awoke in my dream sequence, all right, okay, I awoke from a dream and I was actually celebrating an alternative in a variant dream of an idea I had about myself. I know all of this is very obvious to you in the idea that, yes, Master Teacher, and we understand we called you Charlie and saying to you, but the fact is, you're, how old am I?
80.
Say it again.
80.
I'm 80. When I got out of bed this morning, all right, okay, I was only 18, or 7, or 12. Can you get this? Because I had an association out of a dream sequence that I was having that indicated the presence of the age in which I'm willing to be. Now, when I walked into this frequency with you and you looked at my body formulation, you sang happy birthday to an 80-year-old man. And I'm very much aware that you can prove it because I'm doing a current video. All right. Because the idea of the sequence of the video that we just completed was the idea of the funeral of the death of me, all right, with the certainty that within the dream sequence, I don't actually die. Now, let's listen just for a moment to one paragraph about the idea that you're dreaming. Will you do that with me? Happy birthday. Now, the thought that came to you at that time was, well, the idea of Charlie, was simply a thought that I have. Now, all I really learned in the sequence of the object of the presence of my association in reflection light, that the dream that I'm having concerning you, let's use the 80-year-old body, is still over. That is, the occupancy of the dream that's representing me are reflections of light in which I see you. Thank you for that. See, when you guys agreed to sing happy birthday to me, you were allowing me momentarily, as a teacher of God, to represent alternatives in the availability that the teaching mechanism of us will allow us to change our mind about what we're seeing each moment. And this is chapter 18. I love to teach it because it's the miracle of your mind. Listen with me. Listen with me. Listen, can you hear that? Do you hear that music? See, finally, the idea of listening to that organ music, you say to me, it's just in my head. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. You know perfectly well that the conception of yourself that you then share with others in your idea of dream sequence are what are giving us the enjoyment of a new melody. I'm going to read it as a part of this. Suddenly, from what seems to be out of nowhere, there's a familiar melody that you and I recognize without specifically recognizing the manner in which we're hearing it. Listen. The passing of the dream are actually what a substitute reality is. To substitute is to accept instead. If you would but consider exactly what this entails, you would perceive at once how much at variance this is with the goal the Holy Spirit has given you and would accomplish for you. Why? To substitute is to choose between renouncing one aspect of the sonship in favor of the other. For this special purpose, one is judged more valuable and the other is replaced by him. The relationship in which the substitution occurs is thus fragmented and its purpose split accordingly. To fragment is to exclude, and substitution is the strongest defense that the ego of your self-identity has in separation. Now, in the dream sequence, I wanted to go that far with you because I'm about to read you in the certainty that you are dreaming. It's simply the reference that the guy that you're meeting out there is a substitution momentarily for how you see yourself in the frequency of the manner in which you're identifying yourself. Okay, it's hard for you to see how much is actually involved in the idea of substitution, because the fundamental teaching of objective association very simply is that I am causing this within my own mind, and the reflection that momentarily appeared out there when I came into the sequent was a substitution. Now, listen to me, because you're beginning to grasp the idea that when you find a variance occurring within you, as this happy birthday 80-year-old, you have a vivid memory of yourself occurring within any association you have, a body reflection of light that may or may not be. But one thing for sure, he's a substitution. You who believe that God is fear made but one substitution. It has taken many forms because it was the substitution of illusion for truth, a fragmentation for wholeness. It has become so splintered and subdivided and divided again and over again that it is now almost impossible to perceive it once was one and still is what it was. That one error which brought truth to illusion, infinity to time, and life to death, was all that there ever was. Your whole world rests upon it. Everything you see reflects it, and every special relationship that you have ever made is part of it. Listen here now. You may be surprised to to hear how very different is reality from what you see. You do not realize the magnitude of that one error. It was so vast and so completely incredible that from it, a world of total unreality had to emerge. What else could come of it? Its fragmented aspects are fearful enough as you begin to look at them, but nothing you have seen begins to show you the enormity of the original mistake that had to be corrected in the reflection of your light, which seemed to cast you out of heaven to shatter knowledge into meaningless bits of disunited perceptions and to force you to make further substitutions. That was the first projection of error outward. The world arose to hide it and became the screen on which it was projected and drawn between you and the truth. For truth extends inward where the idea of loss is meaningless, and only increase is conceivable. Do you really think it's strange that a world in which everything is backward and upside down arose from this projection of error? For truth brought to this could only remain within and quiet and take no part in the idea of yourself. The enjoyment in participating with you in the knowledge of your acceptance of the concept of ourself in what we call the miracle of the admission that is changing all the time are why we're here, Now, there, I didn't want you to think I was ignoring you. Did you say happy birthday to me? I'll try it. Happy birthday to you. What are we going to share? A moment when I came into this sequence with you and became the 80-year-old figure, you say to me, or 18-year-old, or 1,240 or 2,000 years, I'm not concerned about the idea of the reflection of light if they're all only substitution for the reality of you. As our Savior Jesus reminds you in his resurrection, at the time of the entirety of his destruction, in relationship with the time element, he made no momentary substitution and he recognized himself. Now, in the reappearance of Jesus, his recognition of you in the mind training can allow you to have joyful moments in which you and I share my singular reality. Say to me, you're still 80 years old.
Still 80.
Well, so what? Come on. The universe is 14,000 million years old. I love to teach. The instant in which the time of error in the reflection of your light was repaired, the instant that it occurred. And in that moment, all time was gone. That's a reappearance. That's a reappearance in chapter 18. Listen with me about your dreaming. You do not find the difference between what you see in sleep and on awakening disturbing. You recognize that what you see on waking is blotted out in dreams. Yet on awakening, you do not expect it to be gone. In dreams, you arrange everything. People become what you would have them be, and what they do, you order them to do. And no limits on substitution are laid upon you. For a time, it seems as if the world were given you to make it what you wish. You do not realize you are attacking it, trying to triumph over it and make it serve you. Listen with me, here's a little practice for you. Dreams are perceptual tempered tantrums in which you literally scream, I want it thus. I want it to be that way. I want it to be that way. And thus it seems to be. And yet the dream cannot escape its origin. Anger and fear prevail, and in an instant the illusion of satisfaction is invaded by the illusion of terror. For the dream of your ability to control reality by substituting a world that you prefer is obviously terrifying and why you're afraid. Your attempts to blot out reality are very fearful. But this you are not willing to accept. And so you substitute the fantasy that reality is fearful, not what you would do to it. And thus is guilt made real. Listen carefully now. Dreams show you that you have the power to make a world as you would have it be, and that because you want it, you see it. And while you see it, you do not doubt that it is real. Yet here is a world clearly within your mind that seems to be outside of you. You do not respond to it as though you made it, nor do you realize that the emotions the dream produces must come from you. It is the figures in the dream and what they do that seem to make the dream. You do not realize that you are making them act out for you. For if you did, the guilt would not be theirs, and the illusion of satisfaction would be gone. In dreams, these features are not obscure. You seem to awaken, and the dream is gone. Yet what you fail to recognize is that what caused the dream has not gone with it. Your wish to make another world that is not real remains with you, and what you seem to awaken to is but another form of this same world you see in dreams. Because all your time is spent in dreaming. Your sleeping and your waking dreams have different form, and that's all. Their content is the same. They are your protest against reality and your fixed and insane idea that you can change it. In your waking dreams, the special relationship is your determination to keep your hold on unreality and to prevent yourself from waking. And while you see more value in sleeping than in awakening, you will let it be that way for you. I'm back with you for just a moment. Okay, I'm told that we're going to end a sequence and have a little celebration in the idea of the dreaming of the idea that's in chapter 18. Fundamentally, what's occurring with you are very normal in the universal idea of what you think you are in a comparison of a sequence of dream that always represents an association in which you do not get a clear vision of what's actually around you. In other words, you're the light of the universe. Everything you're seeing out in the universe with the billions of stars and galaxies are very simply light. And there's one sentence that I want to read to you from chapter 18 before we take our break. Will you listen with me? Will you? Happy birthday. What a celebration. Light in the dream. You who have spent your life in bringing truth to illusion and reality to fantasy, have walked the way of dreams, for you have gone from waking to sleeping and on to yet a deeper sleep. Each dream has led to other dreams, and every fantasy that seemed to bring a light into darkness but made the darkness deeper. Your goal was darkness in which no ray of light could enter, and you sought a blackness so complete that you could hide from truth forever, in complete insanity. What you forgot was simply that God cannot destroy himself. The light is in you. Darkness can cover it, but cannot put it out. As the light comes near, you rush into darkness, shrinking from the truth, sometimes retreating to lesser forms of fear and sometimes to stark terror. But you will advance because your goal is to advance from fear to truth. Look, truth has rushed to meet you since you called on it. If you knew who walks beside you on the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible. You do not know because the journey into darkness has been long and cruel and you have gone deep into it. A little flicker of your eyelids, closed so long, has not yet been sufficient to give you confidence in yourself so long despised. You go toward love still hating it, and terribly afraid of its judgment on you, and you do not realize that you're not afraid of love, but only of what you have made of it, you're advancing to love's meaning and away from all illusions in which you are surrounded. When you retreat to the illusion, your fear increases, for there is little doubt that what you think it means is fearful. Yet what is that to us who travel surely and very swiftly now away from fear? Thank you for the bright reflection of light. Okay. And the idea of a celebration, actually all we're doing is shortening the distance between what is over and what appears not yet to have happened. Because in the dream sequence, what is over when you momentarily wake up is simply a projection of what you want to see in the future. Now, in the practice of the joy of the love that I'm feeling for you, we are offering each other moments in which our love overcomes our fear of actually acknowledging that I'm the dreamer of the dream, and you're the dreamer of your dream, and yet in reality, we're dreaming a single dream as we live this and leave this sequence of time. I'll be back. I'll be back in just a moment. I'll be back. And the joy of the truth of that light will be ours to share.
With arms wide open, he'll
Listen, Jesus is speaking to us. You who hold your brother's hand, also hold mine. For when you join each other, you are not alone. Do you believe that I would leave you in the darkness, that you agree to leave with me? In your relationship is this world's light, and fear must disappear before you now. Be tempted not to snatch away the gift of faith you offered to your brother. You will succeed only in frightening yourself, because the gift is given forever, for God Himself received it. You cannot take it back. You have accepted God. The holiness of your relationship is established in heaven. You do not understand what you accepted. But remember that your understanding is not necessary. All that was necessary was merely the wish to understand. And that's the lovely song that you're hearing now. That wish was the desire to be holy. And the will of God is granted you, for you desire the only thing you ever had or ever will. Each instant that we spend together will teach you that the goal is possible and will strengthen your desire to reach it. And in your desire lies its accomplishment. Your desire is now in complete accord with all the power of the Holy Spirit's will. And no little faltering footsteps that you may take can separate your desire from His will and from His strength. I hold your hand. As surely as you agree to take your brother's, you will not be separate, for I stand with you and walk with you in your advance to truth. And where we go, we carry God with us. In your relationship, you have joined with me in bringing heaven to the Son of God, who hid in darkness. You have been willing to bring the darkness to light, and this willingness has given strength to everyone who would remain in darkness, because those who would see will see, and they will join with me in carrying their light into the darkness, where the darkness in them is offered to the light and is removed forever. My need for you, join with me in the holy light of your relationship, is your need for salvation. Would I not give you what you have given to me? For when you join your brother, you have answered me. Yeah. Thank you for taking my hand. Thank you for taking my hand. Okay. How very joyful is the idea that the relationship in the little time that's left to us now, in this message from Jesus, from the entirety of the idea of one perfect individual, you have joined with me in a reflection of light that has no concern at all about the distance that previously represented in the song that you heard, the idea of bringing the past with you in order that you could project it into the future and live in that sequence. Okay. Now, the interlude that passed there is considerably longer than you might believe. The reason for that is, say to me, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, the idea of organizing within the framework of what you think is the 80-year-old guy, are my certainty that you finally decided that the cause of it is contained within your mind. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, sure. That's why when I appear here, oh, you look different somehow. I like it. I like the idea of the difference that represents you in the message that you have for me as we walk together in conversions without my need to stay separate from you. Now, there's one more paragraph that I must read you that's absolutely, totally enjoyable, in the idea that Jesus is speaking to us from another frame of reference, which you understood, because the requirement for understanding of it was not contained within the conception of yourself. It had to be realized in a moment where that brighter light became part of you. While I was gone, okay, this is almost 400 years. Come on, now it's time for you to look at it. You're determined that you're going to stay here and exist in this framework and celebrate my funeral, celebrate my death as a body form. What I'm going to read you from chapter 18 in the next 22 minutes are left are simply the feature that while you recognize me as a body, I can only be the body that you're recognizing, but that it's contained within your own mind. Will you listen with me? You, who are now the bringer of salvation, have the function of bringing light to darkness. The darkness in you has been brought to light. Carry it back to darkness from the holy instant to which you brought it. We are made whole in our desire to make whole. Let not time worry you, for all the fear that you and your brother experience is really past, because time has been readjusted to help us do together what your separate pasts would hinder. You have gone past fear, for no two minds can join in the desire for love without love's joining them. Not one light in heaven but goes with you. Not one ray that shines forever in the mind of God, but shines on you. Heaven is joined with you in your advance to heaven. When such great lights have joined with you to give the little spark of your desire, the power of God Himself, can you remain in darkness? You're coming home together. You're coming home together after a long and meaningless journey that you undertook apart and that led nowhere. You have found your brother, and you will light each other's way. And from this light will the great rays of the energy extend back into darkness and forward unto God to shine away the past and to make room for His eternal presence, in which everything is radiant in the light. There's an idea of the message contained within the idea of light that was brought home to me. Somebody came up and said, "Will you do a little before there was light?" And I smiled and I said, "Okay, yes. Because before there was the entirety of light, there was only darkness." And he offered me why you believe in multiple universes. Now, the reason I'm going to spend 6 minutes teaching about it are the evidence that you have given yourself in the simple admission that whatever is going on in the reflection of what appears to be the light of you is actually in your mind. And while you're able to, I'm going to put that down, is that all right? While you're able to organize it in your mind, it remains in relationship of occurrence of cause and effect that yet then let you believe that what you live in, of course, is actually a multiple universe. The entire teaching of the miracle that the alteration of your mind is going on consistently with what you want it to do, from the idea of science, say very simply, shall I teach for a minute, what this article says in You Live in Multi-Universe? Everything that can possibly happen is going on here and now. Now, the idea of multiple universes appears to exclude the possibility that when I met you just a moment ago, we were in a dream sequence that we continued to verify until we loosed up the previous light or the future light in which we collapse into darkness, only to spring alive again. Okay? I'm going to read you just about 4 minutes of it, because all it really ends up saying are the teaching of the dream sequence that you're in. All it really acknowledges is whatever you're dreaming is all there is. Now, it has no concern in the universe about how you organize your association, because the entirety of your dream is contained in everything that you're dreaming. Listen. Starting on the simplest level, we know the universe stretches far beyond the limits of our telescopes. At present, our horizon is about 14 billion light years. Observers 100,000 million light years away would inhabit a completely different Hubble volume than ours. Whenever a thought crosses your mind that some terrible calamity might have happened, you can be sure that it has happened in some of what we call the O regions. If you nearly escape an accident, you are not so lucky. In other regions with the same history, what's actually going on is everything that can happen is happening and will happen. Whenever you go beyond human scales, counterintuitive things should happen, and that's exactly what we've seen in the last century. If we go very fast, time slows down. If you make a star very massive, every time you do, you'll get a black hole. What I'm really telling you, and I'm not going to go any further with that, because this is the science that says very simply, what's going on right now in this time is also going on in this place. So that the manner in which I arrive at new solutions in what appear to be a dream sequence of my mind can be gathered together in the ideas of the joy that I'm feeling in experiencing the notation that the reflection of light that I was getting in my idea of the universe from any idea can allow me to see that the notation of organizing past and future relationship into body formulation in the video you saw a week ago at the funeral of me is that I'm actually not dead at all. The reason that I'm not dead or alive at all is very simply because as I organize it in my own framework, I will get the result of my mind. And if you are going to agree, and I remained this 80-year-old figure, I will live in that limited sequence and have another experience of death within the formulation of my life, within the formulation of my life, in the miracle of the conversion of my mind. I understand that the only one I'm really recognizing is me. Say, I'm recognizing myself. Happy birthday. You say to me, well, my birthday is not until the 4th of July. Oh, really? How are you connecting the 4th of July? I'm connecting it with the celebration that we have in my relationship, which immediately becomes an idea of a place rather than time. That's why when I came back into this sequence with you, and the idea that we're dreaming this together in that last song you heard was a beautiful demonstration of it. You understand that the body formulation that you have of yourself is undergoing continuing changes. It was a demonstration of this so-called 80-year-old body form. how you were just healed in the idea that you were suffering from the infirmity of getting old and dying. Now, shall I tell you how it is? I'm not. The mind that I'm using in my mind is the mind that you're also using, so we can arrive at conclusions that are not associated with past or future reference, but enter into right here and right now, and right here and right now, and right here and right now, are what we're performing. Thank you for coming in with a new idea in which you look at the present rather than bringing your old sequence with you. Listen with me just a little bit about the reflection of light that constitute what you think your body is. Listen. An idea of dreaming beyond the body. There is nothing outside of you. That is what you must ultimately learn, for it is the realization that the kingdom of heaven is restored to you, for God created only this, and he did not depart from it, nor have it separate from himself. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is the dwelling place of the Son of God, who left not his Father and dwells not apart from him. Heaven is not a place nor a condition. It is merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness and nothing else within. Listen, what could God give but knowledge of himself? What else is there to give? The belief that you could give and get something else, something outside yourself, has cost you the awareness of heaven and of your identity. And you have done a stranger thing than you yet realize. You have displaced your guilt to your body from your mind. Yet a body cannot be guilty, for it can do nothing of itself. You who think you hate your body, deceive yourself. You listen to me, you hate your mind, for guilt has entered into it, and it would remain separate from your brothers, which it cannot do. Listen to me now, this is important. Minds are joined, bodies are not. Only by assigning to the mind the properties of the body does separation seem to be possible. And it is the mind that seems to be fragmented and private and alone. Its guilt, which keeps it separate, is projected to the body, which suffers and dies because it is a tack to hold the separation in the mind and let it not know its true identity. Mind cannot attack, but it can make fantasies and direct the body to act them out. Yet it is never what the body does that seems to satisfy. Unless the mind believes the body is actually acting out its fantasies, it will attack the body by increasing the projection of its guilt within itself. I want to tell you at the end of this sequence how very much I've enjoyed the idea of entering in to a fragment of time where you just happen to come along there. You want to hear me? Out in the universe, and you spotted somebody who just for a moment was in a different sequence than you appeared to be in. This is all part of the entirety of the story that you're teaching me, isn't it? You're looking along the road. You're allowing a new idea of yourself to enter your mind. Very simply, first of all, in the totality that the body that you're representing yourself is not really making you very happy. So you have a dream sequence in your mind of a wish that it be different than it was. But you forgot in that lovely song you just heard that the idea of the wish within your dream is a new sequence of time in which you can enter into the joyous revelation. Yeah, I want to tell you, thank you for that. Did you see that sequence where you joined together for just a moment in the totality of the realization that we're walking together in a new sequence of time? What you realize in the idea of the magnitude of the reflection that's going on all the time is that the moment you don't hold on to it, it will take a previous idea that you had about yourself that you were actually fearful of, although you called it love, in the idea that you were a body, and it enters into a brand new association of you, a brand new association of the dream sequence that we brought into this idea in the miracle of your mind, in the positive proof that you individually are causing within your own sequence the idea of the space-time that you find yourself in. And that the moment that you don't defend yourself, you discover to your amazement that the one who was actually attacking you was only in your own mind. You had taken it in a dream sequence and made a body out of it. Now, at that time, you believe it is a body. That's why Jesus says, obviously, the guy out there that you distrust, that you don't love, is actually only in your own mind, and that's the happiness that you're feeling now. It's not that you're re-examining yourself in the idea of what you are as this 80-year-old guy. So you don't say to me, boy, you look good as an 80-year-old guy. I'm not an 80-year-old guy. I'm using my mind. And you and I together are using our mind, and we're re-illusioning in dream sequences that show us that the universe simply awaits our awakening from the dream in the idea that we were dreaming. You're very lovely to me in this fantasy of the final dream in the awakening sequence, so that I can tell you with my mind in that moment of reflection. There it is. Happy birthday. Now, say to me very quickly, you mean I'm born again?
Yes.
You're born again each moment in determination that the death sequence will always cause you to reappear in the joy and happiness that I'm feeling with you now. That I'm feeling with you now. That I'm feeling with you now. In that joy. In that joy of the realization that this dream sequence of space-time is over at last. Welcome home. Welcome to heaven.